Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is 5 o'clock on this Thursday.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. All right, you know us, big golf show. Masters starts today.
Yes.
So I said, you know, why not? I'm going to give you the five best Masters of all time.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
The Masters degree.
I'm sorry, say that one more time?
The Masters degree.
The Masters degree. Okay.
I am currently teaching a Masters program at Iona, and how do you know when somebody has a Masters?
Yeah.
They tell you.
That is true. You know who has a Masters?
Your wife.
That's right.
Yeah. She went to an Ivy League school. Can you go to an Ivy League school and not have a master's?
Why are you trying to minimize it?
I'm not trying to minimize it.
Like, it's extra years of school, bro.
My wife has a master's.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Mm. Get that.
Is she doing anything with it?
Number four.
Master P.
Master P.
Oh, wow. Evan has no idea who that is, but make him say, Master P, the rapper.
I know who Master P is. Come on.
Do you?
Yeah.
You sure?
Of course I do.
No, he doesn't. Okay, here we go.
Number three.
Thank God he didn't ask me to name a song.
Again, the list is the five best Masters.
I could name a song.
Yeah.
Even
make
him
say,
By the way, before you give us number three, I just want to remind everybody listening that this is WFN, WFN-FM, and WFN-FM HD1 New York.
Way to get through that clean, Ev. Mm. Number three is The Masters. Classic major. A little too highfalutin for me to put it number one, though.
Why? No phones? It's all.
I mean, you're selling pimento and egg salad sandwiches for a dollar. It's weird.
Can I be more serious about it then?
Yeah.
About why I wouldn't put the Masters? I wouldn't even put them in the top five. It took them forever to let women golf. It took them forever to let minorities enter. Yeah. Like, they are ass backwards. Now, I think in 2024 they've made it. So congratulations. Welcome to the future. But it kind of took Augusta like a billion years. Am I wrong about that, by the way?
No, you're not.
I worry without Tiger Woods, they'd still be stuck in old times.
You know what? Maybe.
Okay, here we go.
Number two.
Number two on my list of the best Masters of all time, Funk Master Flex. Tremendous.
That's
DJ.
You like the rappers, huh?
I do. Listen, Tiki. Me with Jenko jeans and a Jason Sehorn jersey. Right. Nothing I love more in high school than some good hip hop.
I love it.
All right. Just thought of somebody else who's definitely not going to be on the list.
Well, let's see who is the best master of all time.
Number one,
Harrison Bader.
That's who I was going to say.
Bang, Ev. That's what happens when you spend all day with me.
That's right, the master himself, Harrison Bader.
And that's Cinco de Fivo today
hey,
and every day.
Go and have a happy turn. Thank you, Sean. Now run back into the studio because I want you to play a clip for everybody.
How many runs did he score today, Harrison Bader?
I mean, I
saw him flying around the bases at least three times.
I think everybody scored a run today. I mean, when you score 16 runs, including the last four, off old friend Luiski Orme, basically everybody gets a run. But I do want to give you an answer to that as I load my MLB page. But there was something, and I haven't heard it yet, so we're all going to decide together, that may be concerning coming out of this Met game. Okay. Now, I've been told about this, and I think it's only fair for all of us to listen to it together. And let me give you some context on what may worry us. Last year, Pete Alonso was caught on a hot mic after hitting a home run, saying, throw it again. Remember the throw it again thing?
Yes.
And then eventually he got drilled by Charlie Morton. Charlie said it wasn't on purpose. A lot of us as Met fans think it was. And it felt like things got really ugly after the throw it again moment with Pete Alonso. Mm-hmm. And that maybe he was being a little bit too cocky with that comment. Okay? We may have just had another throw it again moment. Because after the game, Jeff McNeil, who had a two-hit game, raising his batting average to a 200 clip, said something that we are about to listen to right now that caused some Met fans to say, hey, I don't like that he said that. I think he may be riling the Atlanta Braves up. Now, let's all take a listen.
Jeff, quite the offensive explosion for you guys this series. What'd you like overall as a group, these three games?
We're just taking really good at bats. You know, we're battling out there. I know the first, you know, week didn't go how we wanted, but went on the road. You know, we're pretty comfortable with this Braves team. We've seen the pitching before, so
stop,
I think,
right there. You know, that's it. We feel very comfortable with this Braves team.
Very comfortable dealing with this Braves team.
My first reaction.
You know what? If he says another word other than dealing, mm-hmm. I think it's fine.
So do you have a problem with what he said?
Only because how the Braves are going to interpret it.
Yeah, bingo. No, you just hit it right. That's the problem.
Right. If he says that's the problem. We've seen this team a lot. We know them well. You know. So we've had some success. It's fine.
Yeah, except you haven't had success until this week. Right.
But that's why we've had success. I mean, that's why he can explain it, because we know this team well. We've seen them often. But the phrasing of it makes it sound insulting.
It does.
To the Braves.
No, here's the concern. This is the dead honest truth. And it goes back to Pete Alonso, because when Pete said what he said in the moment, I didn't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's badass. Like, who cares? I think what scares me is that the Atlanta Braves are really good. And the Atlanta Braves, and look, I'm not trying to drag Sal into this, because the truth is he gave an opinion. He did nothing wrong. So, Sal, if you're listening, this isn't against you. But you know that the Braves, and maybe this is cool for him, so he won't be insulted by this, but the Braves took the whole NL East is over.
The NL East is over!
You don't have to play it. I think he's sensitive to that at this point. Because, like, people blame him for the Mets losing the division. That's not why they lost the division. But the Braves heard that. And they took it personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying they won the division because a guy went on TV and said that, but it became a thing. And he knows that. He got crap. Like, Tyler Matzek tweeted at him after, like, the fuck.
Yo, you an idiot!
He still gets crap for
it. He still gets crap for it. But here's my point. It's not about Sal in this case. It's about the Braves. The Braves are a damn good team, and they take things personal. Even if they're, like, nothing you should take personal. Like, Pete Alonso saying, throw it again, to me, wasn't a big deal. But then the Braves proceeded to just kick our asses over and 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 over again. So it's like, you didn't say anything that bad, but why give those bastards anything? And so Jeff McNeil didn't mean anything by it, but why give the Braves, who you have to play 10 more times, anything? Does that make sense, what I'm saying right now?
It makes total sense. Because that's exactly what the Braves are going to do the next time they beat the Mets. They're going to bring this up.
They're going to make it a thing. Hey, the Braves fans are going to make it a thing. The Brave media is going to make it a thing.
How you
the
dealing
Brave
with us
players,
now?
Yeah, how you deal? They deal with it now. That's going to be the rallying cry. I can feel it now. Throw it again.
Now all you got
to
do.
And at least it's over. Like, they do it to us, whether it's Sal or it's Pete or now it's Jeff McNeil.
Yeah, but you can't have it both ways, because we talked about last week with the Lindor and how the Mets are courteous and they don't want to break up slides, and we crushed them for being courteous. Mm-hmm. And then when they're a little cocky, we want to crush them because we're scared and we have a complex as Mets
fans.
Here's
the difference. I want to tell you the difference, because I'm glad you brought that up to try to juxtaposition it. There's a difference between playing hard.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And talking. Talking doesn't do anything. Talking doesn't mean anything. Like, if Jeff McNeil slid in hard at second base and the Braves took issue with it, I wouldn't be saying, oh, God, we woke up the Braves. No, I'd say they're playing good hard baseball. That's what you got to do. Words, though, that mean, like, what's the point? Like, what the hell's the point? Throw it again. We handle them. The NL East is over. Like, what the hell? The NL East, let me put that aside, because that's Sal. He's a fan. He's on TV. He's giving his opinion. But Pete and Jeff, what good comes out of it? I think that's far different than just playing the game hard.
But I don't think he was trying to be malicious. I don't think he was trying to downplay, like, undercut them.
Doesn't matter when it's
them.
Interpreted a certain
it's just,
way.
It's just a misphrasing. That's all it was. And really, to me, it was one word. The one word makes the biggest difference.
Yeah.
And the Braves are really good. They're going to be really good anyway. And as a Met fan here, the Braves have kicked our ass. I want a little moxie. I'm tired of like being bending the knee to them.
I know,
I'm sick
but it's not
of
bending
you can't
the
say
knee.
We know how to deal with them now.
Why not?
Because they've lost 16 out of 20 until they played them this week, and they lost a series. They won a series in April. As excited as I am that they won a series in April, it's a series in April!
So he should just be like, oh, thank you guys, Atlanta. No, thanks for having us.
He should say we all did a great job. We got to continue building off of it. It's not one way or the other. You just don't have to insinuate anything that you know the Braves are going to use. They use dopey things as motivation. They used Sal saying something on TV. They used Pete Alonso saying, throw it again. They take things that are even more innocuous than what Jeff McNeil said, and they make it a thing. And look, here's the reality. The Atlanta Braves are better than the New York Mets. And they will be for the foreseeable future. That's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to them. It's not like you said something tough about the Nationals. It's about the Braves. The Braves are better. And the Mets are going to have to deal with them 10 more times. So that was sent to me by a few Met fans saying, hey, you got to hear what Jeff said. This worries me. We all listened to it together. And I would just tell you, I don't love it. Shut our mouths. That's what I would advise. Let's just shut our mouths and win games. Just shut it. What are we going
to
say?
That's the easiest thing to do.
Shut our mouths.
Just win. But you got to keep winning.
Yeah. They got three games coming up against Kansas City, including what's going to be a great event on Sunday. I hope everybody goes out there on Sunday. It's Doc Gooden Day. They're retiring his number. I'm going to be in the building. My dad's going to be in the building. In fact, I can't say anything.
What's the weather?
The weather, I don't know. I didn't even check, man.
You always check.
I know. I didn't check Sunday. You know why? Very distracted by the fact.
It's all right.
It's all right?
Good. Yeah, it's going to be 60s.
Good to go.
50s, 60s.
I'm distracted by what I'm doing Saturday with my wife, that I've been like forgetting about what happens after that. But I'm doing a rare Sunday game where it's just me and my dad like the old days. And you want to know why? You want to know why?
Why?
It's Doc Gooden Day. Mm. That's a big freaking deal.
Yeah.
Doc Gooden's number being retired is a big deal. So head on out there if you haven't gotten tickets yet. And say hello if you see me. Let's go to, so many great options. Because we've talked about so many things today. Whether it's Tiki's quarterback plan with the Giants. You could rewind to about 3 o'clock to hear that.
Oh, let's get Tommy.
Talking about Tommy who?
Not that Tommy.
Oh, the caller Tommy?
The caller Tommy.
So of the people on hold, your preference is Tommy.
I'm more interested in what was happening out in the bleachers.
All right. Tommy in Oceanside. Tiki's most interested in you. What's up, man?
What's up, Tommy?
I am honored. That's all I'll say. So Saturday night against the Blue Jays, I was at the game in the bleachers. And you guys are talking about the seventh inning roll call. And it's funny because at the game in the seventh inning, the bleachers started chanting Juan Soto. In my head, it was almost like a cringe. I said to myself, we're going to scare him away because it was like, overkill.
Right, too much.
He said, we can't do it too much.
That's funny.
I was like, oh, man. It was like when you're talking to someone and you say, okay, and they still keep talking. You just want them to shut up. That's what it felt like.
Right.
Before I
like
go.
It's like that girl that you say, yeah, okay, it's cool. Let's go on a date. And then you're like, I didn't really like it. And she keeps calling you. That kind of thing.
Just like that. Yeah, exactly like that. But before I go, I wanted to say, this is for Loogie. The Knicks have dudes. The Knicks have dogs, and they're going to do damage.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about,
that's
Tommy.
That's right, and that's from a Yankee fan who was in the bleachers on Saturday night.
And he forgot they're the only dogs in New York sports.
That's right.
So he was close to having it perfect.
Dudes, dogs, and damage. I'm going to politely disagree with Tommy.
Why?
I don't think anything is overkill when it comes to Juan Soto. I don't. I don't think that a baseball player who has an emotion towards this city. He's got family in New York City. I think he likes New York City.
But it's got to be a moment where it fits. Like, you can't just be roll calling him. Say you're down 4 runs in the seventh inning and you start, Juan Soto. Like, you can't do that.
Why?
Because now he's focused on winning the game. Like, his focus is not, adore me. It's not like I came here for many reasons, but one, the most important one, is adulation. That's not Juan Soto.
Would it ever have been too much if Giant fans were cheering you?
Or
chanting
we were
your
losing?
Name? Yeah.
I'd be like, shut the hell up. We're trying to win a game here.
Okay.
I'm being serious.
All right, you got me on that one. I just think, like, you could never be too nice to a player.
It's not nice. It's
or
just,
be too loving towards a player.
You don't want it to get obnoxious.
You think that's obnoxious,
and distracting?
Chanting his name?
In the middle of a game.
They like him. They love him.
When you're losing. If you're winning, fine. Who cares? It's all good. It's
So you think the Yankee fan is trying?
Throw all that stuff out there.
You think the Yankee fan is trying too hard right now? Like they're trying to impress her, and they're going a little overboard. They got her flowers, but then they kept getting her flowers. Interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, they're driving with the sunroof down and 30-degree weather.
Yeah.
Really? Even you agree with that?
I think they're actually putting Soto in a bad spot. Because the moment Soto turns around and acknowledges, and, you know, who knows, a pitch later, there's an error made. Mm-hmm. Who's going to get crushed for it, the bleacher creatures or Soto?
Well, right now, Soto's in the honeymoon, so he's not getting crushed for anything.
No, by the fans. But the media would start crushing. Yeah. Hey, you got to pay attention.
You know what? We decide things, not the media. The fans do.
You're damn right.
You're damn right.
We're kind of both.
Bart is calling from Freeport. What's up, Bart?
Hey, Evan. By the way, I hope Sean never gives up on the Cinco de Five, oh man. That's great. Anyway, I agree with you what you were saying with Alonzo and the guys saying things that just going to tick the Atlanta off, because that cost Alonzo half a year. That was last year. He said, come on, make that mistake again after he hit a home run. Now, pitchers hate it when you hit a home run off. I mean, you know, they might plunk you anyway, even if you walk nicely around the bases.
Yeah.
But here he comes out with that. Well, funny that, Charlie Morton, the very next day, bang.
I know.
Right on the wrist.
I know.
And it's baseball justice, and I wasn't ticked off at Morton for it, because that was Alonzo was wrong, and he bought it.
Interesting way to think about it.
I'm going
to
give you just the facts here. You can decide what you want. I'm going to give you the facts. Because I agreed with Bart for a very long time that Charlie Morton hit him on purpose. And I think a part of me still thinks that. At one of the Pete Alonso comedy events, we did a little Q&A. And I put him on the spot. And I was like, Pete, how pissed are you at Charlie Morton? Mm. And he's like, he didn't hit me on purpose.
He didn't.
He didn't think that he did. And even went and said, Charlie went out of his way to reach out, ask him how he was doing.
So that's why. So it was an after-the-fact realization that he didn't hit him on purpose.
Well, I don't know if in the moment he thought that, but what Pete's point was, and again, take this however you want, is that Morton going so out of his way to apologize and talk to him about it makes it seem like he didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah,
because if you did it on purpose, are you really doing that?
Yeah, but maybe Charlie Morton only reached out because it put him on the IL.
Well,
like,
yeah.
It jacked him up. Like, if you hit somebody, and whether it's on purpose or not, you're generally not going to reach out and be like,
right,
sorry I hit you in the left ass cheek, right? Sorry. Right? You're not going to apologize.
So it's the fact he got hurt.
It's the fact that he got hurt. Cuz I mean, look, there may be baseball justice that gets done on the mound, but the last thing I think any athlete wants to do is hurt another athlete.
Right.
I mean, maybe in the 60s and 70s you were thinking that in football maybe, but I don't think anybody wants other athletes to get hurt
anymore. I got you. So the injury may have caused him to do that.
That's why he reached out.
It's not even about the baseball justice or the getting hit. It's almost like I could see the bad stuff that's going to come from it. The big deal out of nothing that's going to come from it. You know, Jim is calling from Brentwood. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how you doing? You guys were talking before about having tickets to a major event and then not going. The only year I ever bought season tickets was 1986 Mets. I had the Saturday plan, and July 3rd of that year, I met a woman named Candy, and I ended up hanging out with her. I didn't go to the Game 3 of the playoffs against the Astros when Dykstra hit that home run.
Okay. Wow.
Tickets for Game 1 and Game 7 of the World Series, I did not go to either one of those.
Because
games.
Of Candy again?
I'm sorry?
Because of Candy again?
Yes.
But you better have married her. You did marry her, correct?
Next year we'll be married 36 years. So it worked out.
So it was worth it.
it was definitely cool. And she was not a baseball fan at all. But now she's a fanatical Met fan because our daughter Ebony, got her into the Mets. So now she's a fanatical Met fan. So it all worked out nice.
See, but, it comes full circle. It works.
Yeah, it was good. But, you know, as an 8-year-old, I went to Game 3 of the 69 series, the Tommy Agee game. So that, to me, nothing will ever top that.
Now you've been to some classics, right, man. And you got to meet Candy, and now you have a happy story that comes out of it. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Let's go to Richie in East Islip. What's up, Richie?
Was that Sean from Good Will Hunting when Robin Williams says, I didn't see Pudge hit the home run because I met my wife in the bar?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, you like that, Marash? Huh? You like that one? All right, look. Look, let me just tell you something before I go to the Giants. Evan.
Yeah.
Dwight Gooden retiring his number. How about this? Darryl Strawberry, when he walked and went to the Dodgers and then he ended up with the Yankees, I would be, to retire both their numbers is a joke. I laugh at the Mets because the whole freaking structure of the whole franchise is always going to be a joke. I don't never give anyone anything. What, he had one championship? Couldn't. He was 19 years old. He was a superstar. By the time he was 25, he was shot. You're going to retire his number? I'm sick of this.
All right,
crap.
Well, hold on. I want to address that. Are you, first of all, even around for Gooden?
I understand.
I haven't even said anything yet. Can I respond? Okay, are you a Met fan or a Yankee fan out of curiosity?
Met fan.
You're a Met fan.
Okay. Yes.
Believe it or not, because you're attacking me, I haven't even said anything yet. But for many, many years, I agreed with you. Like, I didn't want to retire anybody's number. I thought who they had retired, which at the time... Okay, I get you. All right, I got to let you go because you're unhinged right now. Okay, you're very angry about this.
I know.
For many years, I was...
a Giants point, too.
Well, he lost that ability because he's losing his mind.
Not sure I wanted to hear it.
I know, right?
I was very sad. I had said this on the air many, many times. It's a discussion I've had a lot where I was good with where they were at.
I remember you were this way because of Keith, the Keith thing.
Yeah.
Didn't we bring you on our show?
Yes, and said, do you want Keith Hernandez number retired? And I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And my thinking at the time was, I liked that the Met bar for retired numbers was incredibly high, that it was simply Hall of Famers. It was Tom Seaver. Casey Stengel's a little different. It was more like as a, you know, the sideshow, the New York history and all that, the 62 Mets, blah, blah, blah. Gil, managed him to World Series, passed away tragically, now is a Hall of Famer, luckily so, and Jackie Robinson. That was it, and Piazza. And I liked that. And I was good with David Wright eventually getting his number retired. He's like the Mattingly exception. And I liked that the Mets had a really high bar. The Mets made a decision a few years ago that I disagreed with, in which they said, we're going to retire Jerry Kuzman's number. I disagreed with it. They made a decision they were going to retire Keith Hernandez's number. And by that point, what I said was, I lost. I had an argument. I had a point. They didn't listen to me. That's okay. I'm probably in the minority. But my bar, it's over now.
Yeah.
They changed it. Once they changed that bar, and once they said Jerry Kuzman should have his number retired and Keith Hernandez should have his number retired, well, then I can't live with the same bar that no longer exists. So I've got to evolve. If we are going to retire the number of Jerry Kuzman and Keith Hernandez, you bet your ass you're going to retire the number of Doc and Darryl.
What do you think the criteria is that they're going with? Because your criteria was basically a Hall of Famer.
Correct.
Right? So now what is it?
It's a great question. I don't know what that answer is. I guess impactful Met, a guy. If I tell the story of the Mets history, I have to include them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, and honestly, that makes sense. There's guys in the Hall of Fame that are that way. NFL Hall of Fame that are that way. Didn't have, you know, the numbers, theoretically.
Right.
Baseball, generally, you have to have the numbers to get in the Hall of Fame. NFL, there's some guys that don't have the numbers, but there's the story. The story works. So it feels like the Met Hall of Fame or the retired numbers, which is essentially the same thing, is you got to have the story.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what it is, but look.
Because David Wright's number is going to get retired.
It's going to absolutely get retired. And I think it's a fair game now to say, okay, now that it's been opened up to Jerry Kuzman and it's been opened up to Keith and it's now open to Doc and Darryl this season, who's next? And I can give you an answer based on that bar. Gary Carter's next. David Wright's next. I'm very unsure about Carlos Beltran. I got to give it more thought. And I do think eventually Jacob DeGrom will have his number retired. Those are my answers. But to our last caller who's all angry about it, dude, I used to be you. Not angry about it, but I disagreed with the Mets changing their assessment on retired numbers. But we have to change with them. Like, I can't, it would be foolish for me to sit here and say, how can they retire Doc and Darryl's number? I can't say that anymore. They retired Keith's number. They retired Kuzman's number. So I've got to evolve too. So, but to still be angry about it, like, dude, get over it. Doc was a great Met. We all know what happened at the end. We all know the issues he had throughout his life. We get it. We understand. Look, it's in this book, My Mets Bible, on sale. I have, you know how many games I have of Doc Gooden pitching for the New York, Doc Gooden pitching in this book? How
None.
Many games I have?
None.
I have one game.
One? Oh, he was a Yankee.
When he was a Yankee.
That's right.
And he came back and pitched at Shea Stadium. And I was freaking devastated that day. And people forget about that game because they think about game two.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened in game two, this was the single, the two stadium doubleheader in the year 2000. And both games are in this book, My Mets Bible. live appearance coming up on Friday at the Astoria Bookshop. Go to AstoriaBookshop.com, get a ticket or two, and come hang out. And maybe we'll bring this up. But Doc Gooden returned to Shea Stadium in game one of that doubleheader, pitched okay, beat the Mets, and then in game two, Roger Clemens beamed Mike Piazza in the head. And that all happened in the same day.
What a day.
What a freaking day. So here's the point. Don't be crapping on the Mets' decision to retire Doc's number when they've obviously changed how they're doing this over the last few years. So get over it. I'm happy for Doc. I love Doc. Mm-hmm. Doc was my first favorite New York Met. True story.
I believe it.
Giving up those home runs to Tuffy Rhodes on opening day against the Cubs. Sorry, I'm 40. My Doc memories, unfortunately, started in 1992.
I was at his no-hitter. I have fond memories.
We're not talking about that.
Mm. Oh, I'm clapping it up.
Are we talking about his Yankee tenure, other than me being upset about his return?
But he's allowed to be a great New York pitcher, not just for the Mets.
Did he wear 16 for the New York Yankees?
He wore number 11.
That's right. He didn't wear 16 because he was retired. You know who he was retired for? Oh, you're a disgrace.
Whitey Ford.
Look at you.
Mm. Come on, Evan, don't come at me with that nonsense.
Look at you.
I mean, they got like 30.
I got nervous, by the way.
Why?
That he wasn't going to get it.
Come on.
No, that man. Been, come on.
That would have been a problem. Anyhow, so we got an interesting game tonight. The Knicks are taking on the Boston Celtics. The Knicks have a legitimate shot if they win the games in front of them to jump all the way up to 2. They could fall as low as 6.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing we know is they won't be in the play-in tournament. Keep an eye on how much Boston stars play tonight, because Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Al Horford, last check, were listed as probable for these games.
Right. Wasn't it a thought that they weren't going to play simply for rest purposes?
Yes. Yeah, I think yesterday they were listed on the injury report, and there was some question on if Joe Mazzulla would play these guys. And by the way, forget the Knick perspective, I'm giving you my basketball perspective. Yeah. I would wrap these guys in bubble wrap because I saw what happened to Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously have seen the injuries that have affected the Knicks. I am the Boston Celtics. I am clearly the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. And I know you can't coach scared or play scared, but I'd be scared. Like I with Kristaps and with Tatum and with Jaylen, like, okay, maybe I'd play them, but I'd be very careful with how I play them.
Right, and they've dominated the division. So, I mean, it's one of those things where it kind of doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Right?
There's nothing to gain from
15
this.
Games up? 16 games up? Whatever it is. It's a humongous number. So it's not about that. The only thing it would be about is keeping fresh or
That's
keeping...
It.
You know, don't let Russ get on you before
That's
you get
it.
To the postseason. But this team is so good, and they've been so dominant in the East, even though it feels like they're still vulnerable in some ways, they're so good, you know it's going to come back.
Yeah.
Like, it'll immediately come back.
They're
but the
vulnerable,
last thing you need is an injury to one of these guys.
They're vulnerable because they haven't done it. They're vulnerable because we remember Jason Tatum in the NBA Finals a few years ago against Golden State. They're vulnerable because they got knocked off by Miami last year. They're vulnerable because this core, while very good, and I feel like they're on a mission, I believe the Boston Celtics will win the NBA title this season. That's just me. They got to do it. And I think that vulnerability feeling that you have comes simply from that.
Right.
They haven't done it yet. And they have a chance to do it this year, because if they don't do it this year, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. So as a Knicks fan, obviously don't overthink who you play in the first round, because you can't control that. Everything is still so, you know, fluid with Milwaukee dealing with the Giannis injury, with Orlando getting tripped up, with the rise of Philadelphia. Like, seed changes can occur at such a crazy pace that it's tough to say I want this seed or that seed. You have no idea who the hell you're going to play. So just go out and win. Just go out and take care of business. But right now, it looks like Jaylen and Tatum and KP's still questionable, so I won't say him. But Big Al, like, they're all going to play tonight. Now, will they take the foot off the gas fourth quarter, 8 minutes to go? We'll see. But I agree with you. The only mentality I'd have is being careful and making sure my guys are fresh.
Right.
You can't just, as much as I want to put them in bubble wrap, obviously they got to play some form of basketball before they open up the playoffs a week from Sunday. Because a week from Sunday is still a long time.
It is.
So,
God, their home record, I didn't even notice this until just now. 35-3.
Yeah, they're absurdly good.
They were ridiculous. They're almost going to win just because.
They're absurdly good. Now, there's also 3 hockey games going on tonight. The Rangers are taking on the Flyers, and we're going to the Islander game tonight. And Sean Morash, are you going to be on your best behavior?
I'm looking forward to enjoying some really competitive hockey, a big game. I hope all of our locals find a way into the postseason. So that's where I'll leave it at that.
What will you do? Will you cheer for the Islanders?
No, I'm not going to boo or root against them. I'm going to go out and have a good time.
What will you do?
Like, yeah, what will you do? Big goal is scored. How do you react?
Watch everybody celebrate, and I'm entertained by celebrating.
I mean, are you giving, like, hey, good job? Or are you, like,
just, if they win the game?
Are you just flat-faced?
No, I think if they win the game, anybody of importance who cares about the Islanders, including Evan, a good handshake. Hey, good win today. That's it. I'm gonna be flat faced during the goal.
What in the middle of the game, you're not gonna celebrate anything.
Yeah, what?
Well,
if
I might be celebrating.
Garcon, give me another beer.
I mean, the Rangers.
What are you doing? What's happening?
The Rangers could clinch a division tonight. I have my eye on that.
You
I'll
guys
be celebrating
are highfalutin tonight, right?
Yeah,
you
we're going to the.
You guys aren't slumming it.
Now we're going to the owner suite. Big night tonight.
Huh? Yeah, I don't do peasancy tonight.
Are you going? I don't do for Islanders Canadians. He's like no. What if I offer a high five after a big Islander goal? Like, I'm excited. Loogie relatively roots for the Islanders. We're excited. I get up. I high five Loogie. I look towards you. My hand is in the air. What do you do?
I leave your hand there. Unless wow. I bet the goal score. You want to do that? Like when you slapped hands after a DiVincenzo
right.
basket.
I'm gonna demand that you incentivize yourself to cheer.
Good point.
Yeah,
so
but,
I have to bet
you,
some Islanders.
You are in the owner's box, dude.
I understand. By the way, I'm not looking to be I'm so excited to sit in the owner's box. I'm not
okay,
looking
so
to be disrespectful.
What if John's sitting next to you?
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
Well, first of all, I want to make something very, very clear about the Islanders, because this needs to be put to rest, because there's been some talk of this, and it's ridiculous. The New York Islanders are a class organization.
Totally.
They don't give a rat's ass that Sean's a Ranger fan. Mm-hmm. They're not going to put an Islander jersey on. I'm not going to force them to root for the Islanders. They don't care. They're good people.
That's
all they are.
I agree.
I'm an Islander fan, so I'm rooting for the Islanders. You're not. You can do whatever the hell you want. So it's not like they're going to put pressure on Sean. They don't give a rat's ass about Sean. They just want Sean to have a good time and eat food.
You cut me off on my point.
Sorry. I just wanted to be defensive of my favorite hockey team.
You're sitting next to John Ledecky. Yeah. Hey, Sean, how you doing? And all of a sudden, there's a power play goal, and it's awesome. And he's like, oh, yes. And he throws up the high five.
Oh, that's a good
question. What are you doing then?
I'm swerving back and hoping he slaps Evans. I cannot. Sorry, look. I'm so excited to see the arena, enjoy the owner's box, enjoy the owner's presence. I don't slap hands.
What if he's like,
goals.
I really love your hockey knowledge. I want you to be the play-by-play for the Islanders.
Well, now you're getting crazy.
That would be disrespectful to Chris King and anybody else involved. No, TV, look, you're not going to catch me. There are some names that rhyme with Schmal Shmamata who might do that, not me.
Well, but I think Tiki's right on about something, and I even did this at a Knick game in which you quoted that I gave a high five out when Dante DiVincenzo scored a basket. I bet the Knicks' first basket, Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah, but you did give high five.
And I gave up because I was excited. I want
to
bet.
You need to incentivize yourself.
You want me to bet Islander goal scores on FanDuel? I'll do it. We can slap hands.
No, yeah. I think you got to bet the Islanders to win. Got to bet the Islanders to win money line and the Islanders to lay the point and a half, whatever it is.
The puck
and
a half. I mean, I sure hope that. I mean, this is a bad Canadian team. This should be an easy one. So you're right, I will do that.
Okay, we don't need your analysis on how they should beat them. We know they should beat them. The question is, you should just bet on them, and that makes things easy.
I'm just trying to make you look good while you're sitting in the owner's
box. You're right.
Box.
You know what? I'm going to do an emotional hedge.
Doing it for
I'm going to bet them.
Emotional hedge.
By the way, I'm on the lookout. I got to find the best ice cream in the arena tonight. Shawnee's in a mood.
Do you know what the provider is?
It's Mr. Softy.
It is Mr. Softy
as
well.
UBS and Yankee Stadium and Citi Field all do Mr. Softy.
And I don't care if those sprinkles
out of the river.
Sprinkles of blue and orange, good by me. I'm wolfing down some ice cream.
Oh, yeah, you don't care about that. I mean, dude, I had the Mr. Softy in a Yankee hat. I could give a rat's ass. The ice cream's good. I'm scarfing that thing down. Now, what did I do once I finished the ice cream in the Yankee hat? Remember what I did, Sean?
You gave me the helmet.
I gave you the helmet.
That's right.
I said, give this to your young daughters. I don't need this.
If they served ice cream in between Brian Trottier's man cleavage, I would eat it tonight. That's how much
that was. Cancun?
That sounds like a fun time. Oh, yeah, so if it's okay with you, Tiki, we're going to leave early if that's whatever. What I mean. All right, cool. Just want to make sure. Let's go to Lee on Long Island. How you doing, Lee?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're good.
What's up?
So I got two things really quick on the Islander game tonight. I'm a diehard Islander fan.
Nice.
This has the very big makings of a letdown game, so I'm really excited that Patrick Waugh is going with the hot hand still and keeping Varlamov.
He's got to. Varley's got to play, and this doesn't
he's
mean.
He's not the star they are.
Now, of course, he's a big part of this hot streak. He's a veteran. He's playing their best hockey. I think it's a no-brainer.
You know this team. You know the past. It has letdown game run all over it.
So I agree.
I'm hoping for the best.
But you know what? But here's the reason why a letdown is so dangerous. And you're right. Coming off an emotional victory against the Rangers, playing a lousy Montreal Canadian team, I think the Rangers are going to be pumped up and motivated over the weekend. And so I think it's essential to get these points tonight, despite the potential of all that letdown, 100%. Because I think this weekend is a very dangerous game against the Rangers.
I think if you ask any Islander fan, they just had to split the two Ranger games. So we got the one, just get tonight's points, and just keep moving with it.
I agree.
For the caller about 10 minutes ago about the Juan Soto embracing Yankee fans,
yes.
I don't know if you guys saw this on Monday. Soto actually signed the ball mid at bat while Nestor was pitching.
Yeah,
so
we talked about it.
I don't think it's too much. I think he's loving it. So
I agree.
I don't think anything that would bother him.
I think that at this point in the love affair, and there is a love affair going on mm-hmm. between the New York Yankee fan and Juan Soto, I don't think anything's too much. Like, I understand we use the analogy of dating, and yeah, if you text her over and over again, if you buy her constant flowers. Like, it can come across as desperate, it can come across as weak, and maybe be a turnoff. It's almost too easy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think with a baseball player the analogy works.
You're not wrong, because if they're adoring you, it's because you're doing things well.
Mm.
And so you feel good about yourself. The fans are making you feel even better about yourself.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that if the Yankees are losing in a whatever game, he's not having a particularly good day, and you're out in the bleacher and you're drunk and you're just like, ah, let's throw this thing up there and make Juan Soto feel good in the seventh inning. That puts him in a tough spot. Because what's he going to do? You're losing by 3 runs. You're going to turn around and be like, hey, guys, thanks. It's odd. It's awkward.
I know, but that hasn't happened yet.
It has not happened yet. But it very easily could happen. Especially if they try to make this seventh inning thing a thing.
No, that seventh inning thing of the Yankee fan and the bleacher creatures doing a roll call, we have now found out was... I guess...
Fugazi, as Sean described.
Fugazi, what's it called when you're, like, not a part of the group? You're, like, sort of not
a wannabe?
Mm-hmm. It's not... Mm-hmm. No, I'm trying to think of the right term. I apologize.
Outcast?
It's not an outcast. It's like a ripoff.
In the 90s, we called them a biter.
It's not a biter.
A knockoff?
Not a knockoff. Yeah, a knockoff.
A low-budget version?
No, I think the knockoff was right. Bootleg. Yeah. It's bootleg bleacher creatures. Mm. They weren't the real bleacher creatures. Those that were doing the roll call in the seventh inning.
I'm glad you worked to find that word, because that one worked.
Well, I'm glad that Loogie came up with it after we guessed 800 words.
Good job, Loogie.
Bootleg bleacher creatures. Patch in Greenlawn. What's up, Pat?
Hey.
What's up?
Hey.
How you doing?
We're good.
Actually, Kiki, I've met you a ton of times. I used to bring my family every year to Albany to watch the Giants training camp.
Training camp in Albany.
Yeah, stay right across the street and go to, I forget the place, but, and Evan, my best friend, your dad is his accountant.
Nice.
So, CPA.
Big fan of you, too.
Thank
you. Got to tell you, my son played for Clemson, won 2 national championships. Tiki, you met him on the golf course at Trump in the fall.
Oh, nice.
And he actually told you about how you were in our Christmas picture one year. He said you told everybody on the at the fundraiser about
right,
it.
Right, I remember that. Was funny.
So, yeah, but I have a hard time. I coached high school football for 20-plus years. Hard time when you say that no athletes go after other athletes that are injured. You know, that is not what I mean.
Do you think athletes are intentionally trying to hurt each other?
I don't think they're intentionally trying to, like, knock them out for the season. But and when you talk about, like, Pete Alonso and throwing at somebody, I know in that case I agree with you that they're probably just trying to make a statement. But in football, there's a reason why, like, they're really careful with the injury reports.
Mm-hmm.
And I coach football, and you know if somebody's a little gimpy somewhere. You know that, you know, if you're playing defensive line and the quarterback has got a sore ribs or something like that, you know, you're not telling me that those guys aren't angling for those.
Well, look, football might be the one exception. Only because you're looking for a competitive advantage.
But that's not trying to injure somebody.
Exactly. You're just trying to take advantage of somebody's injury. I don't think anybody is intentionally trying to break a quarterback's leg.
Yeah,
trying to knock someone. I mean, some of these guys are actually crazy. So I can't say 100% because there are some, like, safeties or line. Like, they're stupid. They're going to end up knocking themselves out. But I think that's a very small minority. But for most other sports, especially – like baseball, we talk about, but like in hockey, you're not intentionally trying to hurt somebody. You might want to fight somebody, but if you intentionally try to hurt somebody, the retribution is worse.
Well, that's what the Ranger fan thinks happened the other day with Adam Pellick. They literally think that's why they were so unhinged, including their head coach, Coach Laviolette. Yeah, they're unhinged in thinking.
He was doing that simply for Saturday. That's all he was
doing. Okay. I think that there's a difference between, let's say there's an NBA player who's not 100% saying, hey, he comes into the paint, I'm going to knock him down. That's not trying to injure somebody. Mm-hmm. It's trying to
intimidate them.
Intimidate them and remind them, hey, if you come here, it's going to probably be painful.
Yeah.
And make you feel uncomfortable. Right. So I do think there's a difference. And look, this was all talked about in relation to Pete Alonso and Charlie Morton last year, that those comments that Pete made led to Charlie throwing at him and led him to being hurt. I thought Charlie threw at him, but maybe threw at him to knock him off the plate and not to actually injure him and knock him out. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's not like he hit him in the shoulder. He hit him in the wrist.
Yeah.
That's an inside throw.
I agree.